And so are you.
Warren shook his head at me. He couldn't tell where the voice was coming from either. I heard a pop and saw a spark out of the corner of my eye just before the lights went out. Damn it, I growled. I cannot afford an electrician. I don't have windows in my pole barn, but it was still bright afternoon, and the light leaked in around the RV-sized garage doors. I could still see just fine, but there were a lot more shadows for Fidel to hide in.
Why are you here? Warren growled. She is safe from your kind now. Ask your precious gray lords.
Fidel emerged from hiding to hit him. For a moment I saw him, a darker form vaguely horse-shaped, the size of a large donkey. His front hooves connected with Warren's chest, knocking him off his feet. I hit the Fey with the walking stick, and it throbbed in my hands like a cattle prod. Fidel bugled like a stallion, twisted away from the stick's touch, and vanished into the shadows again. Warren used the distraction to regain his feet.
I'm fine, Mercy. Get out of the way.
I couldn't see Fidel, but Warren held the digging bar like a baseball bat, took two steps to his right, then swung and connected with something. Warren could perceive the Fidel, but I still couldn't. He was right. I needed to get out of the way before I blundered and got Warren hurt. I put the rabbit between me and the fight, and then started looking around for something that would be a better weapon against the Fey. There were lots of aluminum fencing supplies and old copper pipes for plumbing. All my pry bars and good steel tools were on the other side of the garage. Fidel shrieked, a nasty ear-splitting sound that echoed wildly. It was followed by a ringing clank, like a digging bar being flung across a cement floor. Then there was no sound at all, and Warren lay unmoving on the floor. Warren? Not even the sound of breathing. I ran across the garage to stand over his body, still armed with a walking stick. There was no sign of Fidel. Something cut my face. I swiped blindly, and this time the stick vibrated like a rattlesnake's tail when I connected. Fidel hissed and ran, tripping over a jack stand and into a small tool chest. I still couldn't see him, but he made a mess of my garage. I jumped over the fallen jack stand, knowing that Fidel couldn't be too far away. As I rounded the tool chest, something big hit me. I landed on the cement, chin, elbow, and knee first, helpless. It took me a full second to understand that the buzzing in my head was someone snapping nasty phrases in German. Even dazed and face down on the floor, I knew who'd come to my rescue. I only knew one man who snarled in German. Whatever he said, it made Fidel lose control of whatever magic he'd been doing to block my nose. The whole building suddenly reeked of swamp, but it stank more in one place than any other. I ran for the place where the shadows were the darkest.
Mercy, halt,
Z said. I swung the walking stick as hard as I could. It connected with something and stuck for a moment, then blazed as brightly as the sun. Fidel shrieked again and made one of those impossible leaps, jumping over the rabbit and up against the far wall, knocking the walking stick from my hand as he leapt past me. He wasn't down or even hurt. He just crouched in a manner no horse could ever adopt and stared at Z. Z didn't look like someone worthy of the wariness of a monster. He looked as he always had. A man past middle age, lanky and raw-boned, except for his small pot belly. He bent over Warren, who started coughing as soon as Z touched him. He didn't look at me when he spoke.
He's all right. Let me handle this, please, Mercy. I owe you at least this.
All right. But I picked up the walking stick.
Fidel,
Z said,
this one is under my protection.
Fidel hissed something in Gaelic.
You grow old, Fidel. You forget who I am. My prey. She is mine, they said. They said I could eat her, and I will. Barnyard animals they give me. That the Fidel should be reduced to eating cow or pig like a dog.
Fidel spat on the ground, showing fangs blacker than the grayish slime that coated his body.
The Fidel takes its tribute from the humans who come into its territory to harvest the rich peat to heat their houses, or the children who venture too close. Pig! Bah!
Z stood up. The area around him lightened oddly, as if someone were slowly turning up a spotlight on him. And he changed, dropping his glamour. This Z was a good 10 inches taller than mine, and his skin was polished teak instead of age-spotted German pale. Glistening hair that could have been gold or gray in better light was braided in a tail that hung down over one shoulder and reached past his waist. Z's ears were pointed and decorated with small white slivers of bone threaded through piercings that ran all the way around them. In one dark hand, he held a blade that was identical to the one he'd let me borrow, except that it was at least twice as long. Shadows pulled away from Fidel, too. For a moment, I saw the monster that Adam and his pack had fought, but that gave way to a creature that looked like a small draft pony, except that ponies don't have gills in their necks or fangs. Finally, he became the man I'd first met at the Bright Future meeting. He was crying.
"Go home, Fidel," Z said, "and leave this one. Leave my child alone, and your blood will not feed my sword. It too hungers, and it feeds best on things less helpless than a human child."
He waved a hand, and a motor spun to life, lifting the garage door next to Fidel. The face scrambled out of the pole barn and disappeared around the corner.
"He won't bother you again," said Z, who once more looked like himself.
The knife was gone, too.
"I'll speak to Uncle Mike, and we'll make certain of it."
He held out a hand, and Warren used it to pull himself to his feet. Warren was pale, and his clothes were wet, as if he'd been immersed in water, seawater from the smell of him. He straightened himself slowly, as if he hurt. "Are you all right?" Warren nodded, but he was still leaning on Z. The walking stick was just in front of Z's foot. The blackened silver knob had smoke gently rising from it. I picked it up gingerly, but it was as inert to my touch as the stick I'd thrown for Ben on Saturday. "I thought this was only good for making yous have twins."
"It's very old," said Z, "and old things can have a mind of their own."
"So," I said, still looking at the smoking stick, "are you still mad at me?" Z's jaw stiffened.
"I want you to know this. I would rather have died in that cell than have you suffer that madman's attack."
I pursed my lips and gave him my truth in exchange for his. "I'm alive. You're alive. Warren's alive. Our enemies are dead or vanquished. That makes this a good day." I went to work on Monday morning and learned that Elisaveta, the pack's very expensive witch, had been by and done cleanup. The only trace of my run-in with Tim were the scars I'd left on the cement while I was trying to destroy the cup. Even the door Adam broke had been replaced. Z had come in on Friday and Saturday, so all my work was caught up. I had a few bad moments, which I had to hide from Honey, who was Monday's guard, but by lunch I'd reclaimed the shop as mine. Even Gabriel's hovering after school was out, and Honey camped in my office, didn't disturb me as much as I'd expected. I finished at 5 sharp and sent Gabriel home. Honey followed me to my driveway before going home herself. Samuel and I ate takeout Chinese and watched an old action flick from the 80s. About halfway through, Samuel got a call from the hospital and had to leave. I turned off the TV as soon as he was gone and took a long hot shower. I shaved my legs in the sink and took my time blow-drying my hair. I braided it, reconsidered, and wore it loose.
"If you keep fussing, you'll make me come in and get you," Adam told me.
I knew he was there, of course. Even if I hadn't heard him drive up or come in, I would have known he was there. There was only one reason that Samuel wouldn't have called for a replacement. He'd known Adam would be over soon. I stared at my reflection in the mirror. My skin was darker on my arms and face from the summer sun than it was on the rest of my body, but at least I'd never be pasty pale. Aside from the cut on my chin that Samuel had put 2 stitches in, and a nice bruise on my shoulder that I didn't remember getting, there was nothing wrong with my body. Karate and mechanicking kept me in good shape. My face wasn't pretty, but my hair was thick and brushed my shoulders. Adam wouldn't force me, wouldn't do anything I didn't want him to do, and had wanted him to do for a long time. I could ask him to leave, to give me more time. I stared at the woman in the mirror, but all she did was stare back. Was I going to let Tim have the last victory?
Mercy.
Careful, I told him, pulling on clean underwear and an old T-shirt. I have an ancient walking stick, and I know how to use it.
The walking stick is lying across your bed, he said.
When I came out of the bathroom, Adam was lying across my bed, too.
When Samuel makes it back from the hospital, he's going to spend the rest of the night at my house, Adam said. We have time to talk.
His eyes were closed, and he had dark circles under them. He hadn't been getting much sleep. You look horrible. Don't they have beds in D.C.? He looked at me, his eyes so dark they were almost black in this light. But I knew they were a shade lighter than mine.
So have you made up your mind?
He asked. I thought of his rage when he'd broken down the door to my garage, of his despair when he persuaded me to drink out of the goblet again, of the way he'd pulled me out from under the bed and bitten my nose, then held me all night long. Tim was dead, and he'd always been a loser.
Mercy?
In answer, I pulled the T-shirt over my head and dropped it on the floor. This is Lorelei King. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Iron Kissed by Patricia Briggs. This program was executive produced by Patty Perez and produced and directed by Garrett Scott. Iron Kissed is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA, Inc. Copyright 2009. All rights reserved. The book Iron Kissed is available wherever Ace books are sold.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.